Hi, I'm Joe Feeks, editor of Pig Health Today, and with me is Dr. Daniel Linares. He is assistant professor and a veterinarian at Iowa State University. Welcome to Pig Health Today.
Thanks for having me today.
I want to talk with you about testing for PRRS, because you really can't have a good control program unless you have a good handle on the degree of PRRS in the herd. But there are so many different ways of testing for PRRS, it seems.
Right.
Could you give us an overview, the pros and cons of each of the different testing methods?
Yeah, sure, and it's a good question. A lot of people discussing that very topic as we speak, because there are some new sample types, new monitoring methods that has been described, and people are interested to better understand those and better understand how to mix and match
yes.
those methods to answer their needs, right? So if we focus on the breeding herd, where we produce the piglets, there's at least three new methods that have been proposed. Gotta remember that the conventional or the standard method was to sample individual piglets at weaning, right?
It's very labor intensive.
Very labor intensive. You gotta get each piglet, draw blood, or pick a ear pig swab, and then put it in a tube, go to the next pig, so on and so forth. And these new methods, they are all what we are calling the population-based methods, where you don't pick individual pigs anymore. Now you sample the population. The other sample type is the family oral fluids, where you collect fluids from mom and piglet, the whole family, just prior to weaning, because it's still important to understand the status of the piglets prior to weaning. And the other method, which is more a complementary method, is looking at production data. Right. If we know that PRRS, wild type or aggressive PRRS, when it gets to the farm, it's gonna do something clinical. It's either gonna, in most cases, it's gonna spike number of aborts, or preweaning mortality, or prenatal losses, stillbirths, mummies. Right. It's gonna impact some of those numbers. So what we're doing now with some production systems is tracking those numbers. Some want to track it daily. We have the capability to track that daily or weekly. And they enter in selected data, those four parameters in a little tablet or smartphone, send it to the cloud, and the program in the background runs the statistical process control and identifies a significant shift in the numbers. Then the program picks that up and sends an automated notification to whoever is registered.
Let's talk a little bit more about those different testing methods, because I imagine they all have value. How
right.
do you know which testing method to use at which time? And what would be the pros and cons?
It's a good point, because there is no best method, right? It's depending on what you want to do. And the way we are seeing and working with some producers, veterinarians, is combining those actually. So the screening production data method can be done as just like that, as a screening method just to complement your diagnostic testing. Because it's not only about PRRS. Sometimes there's PED, sometimes there's influenza, sometimes there are others, and you just don't test for them every day all the time. So if you're screening your production data, you can quickly see if something is wrong, then you can test for whatever pathogen it makes sense, right, that shifted that production data. Processing fluids, we've been using that for PRRS as well as for PED and PCV too, but let's focus on PRRS. Processing fluids is a very powerful and easy method, simple method, practical, affordable, and effective to screen the herds for PRRS virus, right? So it's another screening method to understand if the sows are producing PRRS negative piglets and if they're still negative at 3, 4, 5 days of age. So with one test per day, you sample hundreds of piglets that are being processed that day. You can always pull at the beginning, if you know that you have PRRS there, you can always pull the daily samples into one weekly sample. And with one PCR, you sampled hundreds and hundreds of piglets.
And when would you want to use this type of PRRS test?
So you can use that in herds that are thought to be negative, and it's a cheap way to to screen that herd to make sure that it's still negative, or you can use that in herds that are undergoing virus elimination, right? Implementing a herd closure or other program to eliminate, to produce negative pigs at weaning. And then you monitor this herd over time with processing fluids as a screening method to understand when you are starting to produce those piglets at 3, 4, 5 days negative. It's still not the final status because pigs move around and it takes a few days, a couple weeks between processing fluid collection and weaning time. And what you really are really concerned about is the status of the piglets getting out of the sow farm, the weaned pigs. And that's when the family oral fluids come. That's when you hang the ropes to in crates where mother, right, the sow, and the baby piglets have access to the rope. We tried many different ways to collect oral fluids from due to in litters ready to be weaned. And we found that it's not consistent if you try to collect only from piglets. But if you hang the rope where the sow can see it, it's amazing. It's some behavior component. As soon as the baby piglets see mom interacting with rope, they all copy her behavior and chew on the rope. And so working with some production system with a very high, you hang 10 ropes, get 9 or 10 back, right? And test that, submit that for PRRS virus. And with that sample size, anything between 8, 9, 10 ropes, that also gives you a very high sensitivity to detect the virus in the due to in litters.
And is the oral testing with the ropes, is that specific to PRRS only, or can you also use that for PCV, PED, maybe some other viruses?
Oral fluid has been validated for many different, many other diseases, including those that you mentioned, PED, as well as Delta coronavirus, PCV, and an array of other diseases.
So with all these different tests, I imagine this is giving both you and certainly any producers and vets who submit tests to your laboratory a much better handle on the prevalence of PRRS.
It does increase the sensitivity to detect PRRS, but at the same time, it detects more PRRS. Because with the old tests, people were testing 30, 60 pigs a month, individual pig testing. And now people are moving to those sample types where you're sampling hundreds of piglets a day. So guess what, you're looking more? You find more. Because a lot of herds that you thought that you succeeded in eliminating the virus, you actually brought the virus to a low prevalence level, almost dormant level. And then as soon as you think that the herd is free, you start bringing negative pigs again and start moving pigs around again. And that virus that's in low prevalence now has the chance to come back and to cause a re-break with the same virus. So I agree with you that it's a good thing, because now we have better tools to better understand what's the disease status in the herd. But at the same time, it creates opportunity to refine the control elimination methods to make sure that when we're talking about virus elimination, it's really elimination and not low prevalence level.
Now, the processing fluids, I guess that's probably the newest way of testing for PRRS. I think you introduced that last year. Is that catching on? Like, what percentage of the samples that you get today are from processing fluids?
A year ago, it was not known. It was an unknown sample type, or unknown to many, at least for us. And we have a different project that we call the Swine Disease Reporting System, where we gather data from veterinary diagnostic labs and report results for PRRS and other diseases over time, by sample type, by age group, by region, by other factors. And it's interesting to see that processing fluids went from 0 to 3, 4, 5, now it's at 7%. So 7% of all sample types submitted for PRRS testing by PCR, it's now processing fluid. So it's really picking up, people are picking up. It's, again, it's cheap, it's easy, it's a no-brainer, and it has a much higher sensitivity to detect the virus at the population level.
So tell me about the other 93%. How is that broken down?
So that's a combination of oral fluids, of serum, a lot of tissue too, especially on clinical cases, people still submit a lot of tissues, and the rest is just a combination of many other sample types, but those are the main ones.
Well, certainly the better we understand this disease and its prevalence, the better job we'll do at controlling it.
Yeah, right. It's hard to manage what you don't measure, right? And now it's a novel ways to better keep track and monitor and measure the PERS status, shedding status and antibody status.
But also to measure the return from the vaccination programs that you've been trying to implement.
True, yeah, right.
Excellent. Well, we've been talking about diagnostics with Daniel Linares. He is a veterinarian and assistant professor at Iowa State University. Thanks again for coming by today.
Thanks for having me again.